Okay, let's unpack this.
Right.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into, the really surprising psychology behind white-collar crime.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
We've pulled insights from some great sources. There's research from Eugene Soltes, an interview with Leonard Lopate, and some related texts too.
A good mix.
Our mission here, for you listening, is to really get under the skin of the mindsets and, I guess, the systemic issues that feed into these crimes, crimes that often fly under the radar.
Offering a shortcut to understanding something pretty significant.
And right off the bat, here's something that, honestly, it's almost unsettling. Eugene Soltes points this out.
Oh, I think I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, he found that many white-collar criminals are just so genuinely surprised when they get caught.
Completely blindsided.
So much so, they actually needed, get this, a room painted with calming colors.
Designed by a psychologist.
Exactly. Designed by a psychologist just to help them process the reality of their situation. I mean, can you imagine that level of disconnect?
It really speaks volumes, doesn't it?
It does.
It shows how easily people can justify their actions when, as Soltis puts it, no actual physical act of harm is inflicted.
Right. There's no broken window or.
Or blood on the floor, nothing immediate and visceral.
Yeah.
And that lack of something tangible, it lets people convince themselves they aren't really committing a crime in the way they understand crime.
Blurs the lines.
Totally. It's this really powerful form of self-deception. Almost chilling, actually.
And that self-deception, the whole intangible harm thing, it just keeps popping up in the sources.
It's a core theme.
So if we kind of zoom out a bit, what are the bigger patterns here?
Well, one major thing is just the sheer power of self-justification.
Right, rationalizing it away.
Exactly. Sometimes over years, even decades. Think about Bernie Madoff.
Oh, definitely. Decades of deception in that Ponzi scheme.
And the lack of a visible victim in each day-to-day transaction probably made that delusion easier to maintain for so long.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's not just the person doing the main act, is it? It's also how easily others can become, complicit without direct involvement.
That's the crucial point. And connecting this to the bigger picture, one text really critiques what it calls the individualism view.
Okay, what's that?
It's basically the idea that ethics is all down to individual choice and conscience.
Sounds reasonable on the surface.
It does, but the argument is that this view gives too much flexibility for excusing bad behavior.
Ah, because it ignores the context, like company culture or pressure.
Precisely. It overlooks systemic pressures, the culture, and just, the very human tendency to conform. It makes you ask, is it really just an individual failing?
Or something bigger going on.
Right. And the text also claims, interestingly, that most people find themselves within the first four stages of moral development,
Which are?
pre-conventional and conventional stages. So basically, decisions are often driven by avoiding punishment
Or just fitting in.
or fitting in, conforming to what peers do, following the rules because they're rules, not necessarily from a deep internal ethical compass.
And this isn't just about those huge headline-grabbing cases.
Not at all.
Think about your own work life, right? The sources make it clear. Ethical dilemmas are actually super common.
Everywhere, really.
So common, we sometimes start justifying things, calling them small and insignificant, when maybe they aren't.
I like looking the other way on discrimination.
Yeah, or a conflict of interest because it seems minor, or maybe it benefits you slightly.
It's easy to tell yourself, well, I'm not the one doing the illegal thing, even if you're enabling it.
Right, you become complicit. And those seemingly small compromises, they can add up, can't they?
They absolutely compound over time into something much bigger.
Okay, so let's leave you with a final thought, something provocative that Eugene Soltes mentioned. He notes that many convicted white-collar criminals are actually hired back into the exact same positions they held before.
Wow, really? The
Yeah.
exact same positions?
That's what he reports. So, what does that tell us about how society really views these crimes? Our willingness to maybe forgive or just overlook?
That's a tough question. What does it reveal?
And maybe bring it closer to home? What small justifications might you be overlooking in your own professional life? And what are the hidden costs, the compounding costs of those seemingly minor ethical compromises?
Something definitely worth reflecting on.